Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
She is my friend from the Dog Writers Association of America, and I must say my colleague as well. She is with NBC's Today Show, the author of the book, award-winning book, may I say, My Old Dog. And it's funny, someone so young could write about old dogs. Laura Coffey, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. And, you know, I guess first, and this is Adopt a Senior Dog Month. Actually, I think it's Adopt a Senior Pet Month. And we both serve on the same advisory board, the Gray Muzzle Organization, which promotes the notion of adopting older dogs specifically. What motivated you to write a book about our more elderly dogs?
Well, you know, the whole adventure with the My Old Dog book began with a story that I wrote for the Today Show's website a few years back, and it was a story about senior dog rescue, and it went viral. People loved the idea of adopting older animals. It touched people's hearts. It was an idea that was on the rise at the time that the story came out. Now it's more common, but, you know, a few years back, it wasn't as common to take in an older animal from a shelter. People would walk past those kennels and overlook the older ones, thinking it would either be too sad or too costly to take in an older pet. However, people are catching on and realizing it's a wonderful thing to do to take in pets at this stage of their lives. They make perfect companions, and they're already house trained, which is huge, and they're snuggly and calm, a little less rambunctious than puppies, and it's now a wonderful idea that has truly caught on.
You know, they say, though, that I've been talking about this for whatever reason, increasingly so. So I'm curious as to what your take and your experience is on this. They say that older pets, older dogs included, actually seem to appreciate the fact that they're being brought in. I don't know. I mean, at some level, that kind of doesn't make sense. But on the other, it's anecdotally, I hear that from person after person after person. What do you think?
I have heard the same thing, too, after interviewing dozens of people all over the country from every imaginable walk of life, all different locations who have done this. They've never regretted taking in an older animal, and they all, to a person, say that they can tell that the animals feel relieved and grateful grateful might be a bit of an anthropomorphization, you know, to say that. But still, they can tell that they are somewhere safe and secure and wanted. And animals do have emotions and feelings. We can tell that, you know, with our bond with our pets. And they feel so relieved and happy to be somewhere where they're wanted. And especially after they have just a little bit of time to decompress after getting out of a shelter kennel that can be loud and disorienting. It's confusing for an older pet who may have landed there. They typically end up in a shelter through no fault of their own. There's usually some major life upheaval in the life of their human person, you know, who had been with them. Sometimes it's their past human companion became very, very old, maybe needed to go to a nursing home, and couldn't keep the pet for that reason. Maybe the older person had, died there. And so they were accustomed to being family pets, and then they're confused and scared and disoriented in a shelter. Once they get out, their personalities start to blossom, they decompress, and then you see all that comedy and all that love and affection and that incredible relief for being in a safe, secure spot.
Yeah. So you tell in the book My Old Dog lots of different stories. We're tight on time. Can you tell one story about how a dog has changed a life?
Well, you know, it's a collection of stories of happy success stories of people who have done this. George Clooney is in the book. And I was really, really grateful that he wanted to participate in this book and share his story of taking in an older, formerly morbidly obese Cocker Spaniel named Einstein. Einstein needed a place to go. George Clooney himself fell in love with this dog watching a little video on the internet the way we do, animal lovers do, and he needed this pet, and Einstein became one of his very, very best friends, and the story is so charming and so funny and adorable It'll make you love George Clooney even more. The fact that he was willing to do something like that. And then we have, you know, stories of older people. There's a woman who had recently gone through a real shocking sudden loss of her husband of more than 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very depressed, dealing with a lot of anxiety, wasn't getting out of her house much, could not pull herself out of some pretty serious depression. And her adult daughter knew that her mom was struggling. And so she set her mom up with a senior dog adoption through Muttville Senior Dog Rescue in San Francisco. They have a wonderful Seniors for Seniors program where they pair older, calmer pets with older people, waive adoption fees, and make it really, really easy to handle all kinds of financial aspects of this adoption for people. And this woman took in an older small dog, and it was the beginning of her learning to live again. The woman started to get out of her house because she needed to walk the dog, and the dog was a little people magnet, and she met all kinds of people, made all kinds of friends. And by the end of the chapter in that book, you see that this woman is volunteering and taking line dancing classes and working out with a personal trainer and having a really wonderful life. And she credits, you know, the beginning of all of that to taking in this little senior dog.
Okay, one quick question for you, and I'm really tight on time here. Who's better looking, the dog or George Clooney?
Oh, they're both really handsome.
And notice she did not answer the question. You can look for yourself in the book My Old Dog. Laura Coffey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Also, check out graymuzzle.org, graymuzzle.org, for more information about adopting older dogs or cats, you know. And I think Laura's right. I mean, I love the idea of older folks adopting older animals in general. That's often a good fit. I'll tell you what's a good fit, me talking to you. Our telephone number, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. I was at the American Association of Feline Practitioners Conference and learned about, I'll tell you, more people, what do you think it is that more people are allergic to than anything else? What do you think the answer is? Now, this is a pet show, 312-981-7200. So that's a hint. And if you are allergic to what I'm talking about, give me a call or text me at that number, 312-981-7200, because I have some amazing news for you. I was just also this past week at the Benefit for Chicago Animal Care and Control at IO Chicago. That's the improv place. If you haven't been there, it's very funny. It's supposed to be. I mean, really, IO began in Sharna Halpern, who they're now making a movie about. I mean, listen, I mean, the careers of going back to the Belushis, I mean, really, to now Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Jason Sudeikis. I mean, the list of performers goes on and on. If you watch Saturday Night Live, half the folks there, it seems, Lorne Michael comes and sits kind of in the back row and says, oh, that person's funny, really funny. Maybe I'll hire that person. And he's hired a lot of those people over the years. Anyway, there was a benefit there, and they had some older dogs. Kelly Gendersky, who's the executive director of Chicago Animal Care and Control, said, you know what, this is the older, it is, adopt a senior dog, or adopt a senior pet month, actually. So she brought in four or five older, not geriatric, but older, six, seven, eight-year-old dogs. And they all went on stage. It was very, very funny. Of course, IO is also always funny. But what they did to highlight these older dogs is something I'm all for. You know, the answer, here's the question. I'll play Canine Jeopardy with you. The question is, what do you think is in shelters more than any other type of animal? And pit bulls, or dogs that look like pit bulls, would be an answer. Because there are more of them than people want to adopt them. In fact, they are the all-American dog, in a sense. Those dogs, they're not pit bulls. They just are mixed-breed dogs. But they have this look that we call pit bulls. And those dogs are more numerous than the most popular pedigreed or purebred dog, which are Labrador Retrievers. For like 23 years, I think they've been the most popular. But the other answer is older animals. And they're given up as Laura said, and it's true, to no fault of their own. All right, 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. I do have several texts and you're all right. Cats. That is what more people are allergic to than anything else. So peanut allergies, hay fever, whatever. The answer is cats. Now, what is science and technology doing about that? You won't believe the answer. I will have that for you in a minute. I do want to take your telephone calls. I have some time here. Yes, I have something I never have. I have time. So I want to talk to you. 312-981-7200. You have pet behavior questions. You can call. You can text. You can do anything you want. Just so you reach me. And if you reach me, I will answer. Hopefully, I will answer your questions for you. This is WGN. Good morning. Good morning, Steve. This is a text. By the way, of course, you're listening to WGN 11 minutes before 7 o'clock. The text comes to 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Can you direct me to someone who can help my Pomeranian Lucky with assistance in walking as maybe a type of wheelchair? He has arthritis and has trouble walking and falls over. Margaret in Bridgeport, thank you very much for writing. And I have several texts about cat allergies. I promise I'll get to those in a moment. What do you do about cat allergies? I'm allergic. I really like cats is the essence of what those various texts are about. But first, let me address this. They have various harnesses that you can actually hold up. And for small dogs, it's much easier than for larger dogs. You can ask your veterinarian about his or her favorite, but I'm trying to think of a way to describe them. You know the when you have service dogs, they wear a vest? So imagine one of those vests with a handle on top. So you could actually hold the dog up if you're able to bend over a little bit. That can help dogs that have this issue negotiate stairs. If the dog is actually so disabled, where the dog is unable to really walk, first of all, talk to your veterinarian about this issue. I assume you've done that, but we're talking pain relief for sure. But in addition to that, yes, there are wheelchairs made for dogs. There are a variety of companies that do it. I can't think of all their names off the top of my head, but you can Google that or ask your veterinarian about it because they do provide for dogs with disc issues, dachshunds in particular, very often, but not necessarily. They do provide a way for those dogs to get around. And it really works. I mean, when you see these dogs, their tails are going back and forth and back and forth. They're really happy about it. Here's what has been done. It is the number one reason, apparently, 20% of people that have allergies are allergic to cats. What is it about cats? It's actually not their dander, per se. That's not quite true. It is a protein in their saliva. That protein is actually has a name, FELD1. And Purina and their scientists, and I'm about to moderate an event in Boulder, Colorado, where I'm going to learn a lot more about this. Scientists have figured out a way to neutralize those allergies of what we're allergic to in FELD1 with an egg protein. And when I wrote about it on my blog, people wrote back and said, well, I should just feed my cat egg. No, that's not going to solve the problem, I don't believe. Having said that, I do want to ask the scientist, I'll have an opportunity to talk to him at this event tonight, actually, and tomorrow. And I will ask him more specifically why that really is not the case. That isn't the solution to the problem. But the good news is that in 2020, let me get my crystal ball. Here it is. I've got my crystal ball, and I'm looking into it. And I will tell you between us, in 2020, at some point during the year, there is going to be... So this is the science, but the science will be put to action, if you will, and it'll be incredible because so many people, so many of you, I know that, you're texting me now. So many of you say, I would adopt a cat, I would bring a cat into our home if my husband, my wife, or myself, or my kids weren't so allergic. Or people who give up their cats because they
learn that they have an allergy to cats. Or families that come together, which is common these days, but right, wrong, or otherwise, it's what's happening in America. So, and sometimes because young couples are getting married later. So that person, maybe he has a dog, she has a cat, or he has a dog and he has a cat, whatever the deal is, right? And the other person's allergic to cats. So the cat has to be given up to a shelter. That won't need to happen. I mean, the number of cat lives saved and the number of people whose quality of life will be improved who live with cats. So there are so many people, millions of you, who live with cats that get up in the morning and sneeze and then take a decongestant and go for allergy shots, and the cat sleeps off in the garage or something, and all of this won't have to happen. Your relationship with the cat will be better. So I am so excited to bring you that news, and some of the news we have about companion animals impacts all of us. So this is from Sydney, Australia. There's a new, again about cats, there's a newly discovered virus in cats that actually causes a virus that causes liver and other cancers. It's a virus that does this. Now, if it does this with cats, could a virus cause cancer with people? And experts think so. That's number one. Number two, this virus is very much like hepatitis B in people. The virus in people, hepatitis B. If we can figure out how to solve this virus, and researchers here are from Australia, how to figure out how to solve this virus in cats, not only will we help cats, which is something I'm always all for, but we would actually help people as well. There's something called feline infectious peritonitis, and thank you for paying attention to my blog and for asking me this question, Julie. I appreciate it. You texted me 312-981-7200, and FIP, or feline infectious peritonitis, I've been writing about in my blog, and your question is, how can I attend the symposium? Let me explain what you're talking about. So FIP had always been considered fatal. It mostly happens to kittens. It's heartbreaking. As a veterinarian, when I talk to veterinarians, I don't believe they're, you know, including all these cancers in dogs and cats and other species, there's nothing more heartbreaking than informing a cat owner in this case, because it only happens in cats, though it can happen in ferrets too, that feline infectious peritonitis is what your kitten has, FIP. Because there's nothing that over the years that could be done. I mean, various drugs have been tried, but nothing has been proven to work until now. And in addition to that, the researcher who goes back decades trying to even at first understand this very complicated disease, we now get it. And it might be vaccinatable. Maybe one day there'll be a vaccine for it. And so much more is now being learned and understood, and all of that will be brought to the public. I'm on the board of the Wynn Feline Foundation, W-I-N-N, Feline Foundation. And at the Wynn Feline Foundation, we are hosting a symposium. Actually, University of California, Davis is the host. Go to WynnFelineFoundation.org to learn more about it. Because while veterinarians can go, and they will, and get their CE or continuing education credits, the public's invited as well. And you can even attend online and ask questions in advance. All of that on my website as well, SteveDale.tv.